You know, you drive around the area, really almost any place in North Texas, and you're going to see construction, and you're going to see multifamily construction. They're building apartments like crazy. I guess you have to go way out north to see new homes under construction, but boy, there's a lot of multifamily down here. And you wonder about absorption, then you wonder about what happens to the older apartment units. You know, they've been around for a long time. Well, Scott Everett has an idea about that. He is the CEO of S2, which is involved in multifamily, and he has the answer. He joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, David.
So S2, what does S2 stand for?
S2 stands for Skip and Scott. Skip Bird is my one of my co-founders back in the day, and he has moved on and doing some other things. But you know, we've kind of run it and had some great people around us, so we kept the brand and kept the name.
Well, S1 would sound silly.
Yeah, it sounds stupid.
So you guys go in and buy what's known as the sort of the B and the C apartment. I guess at one time they were A's.
Oh, yeah.
The kind of things that are going up right now. But you're buying the ones that nobody wants right now. What do you do with them?
You know, we spend a lot of money, and hopefully we do it right and improve the asset. It's always a challenge to figure out how to spend the right amount of money. I mean, we've got some deals where we'll spend $20 to $30 million renovating, and that can be anything from new roofs, parking lots, leasing offices, amenity spaces, all the interior functions of a unit, including appliances, flooring, all the way down to the shower tiles. So, you know, each asset has its own business plan, its own deal. So we have to go in and get creative on how to make that money, have the most bang for the buck for the tenants.
Yeah, because the other thing that seems to be happening right now is they're knocking down what, you know, for some people would be perfectly good housing and putting in new housing.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, anyone who drives around Dallas or any of the high growth submarkets or markets in the country right now, there's just been a little bit of a shift in demand for rental housing. You know, as mortgage rates crept up, as housing affordability has become a pretty much a crisis right now, it has led to this significant demand for multifamily housing. And that's driven up rents, and that's driven up construction costs and land prices. And that continues to push on the renter household. And so we didn't want to compete in the new construction arena. You've just got tighter and tighter margins with everything going on. And so we wanted to go buy existing housing and make it feel like a new home. And that's what we've done.
And you moved on from, I mean, just you're a native here, but so you know Texas, you're all over Texas. But I noticed you've added Florida and Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. We're trying to focus on markets that have very similar supply and demand, as well as demographic growth and job growth, similar to Dallas. And we've identified Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa, so a lot of the key Florida markets, as well as Phoenix, Houston, and, of course, Dallas-Fort Worth.
Well, and you don't hold on to these things very long. You've got investors, I guess.
We do.
Who are giving you money.
Yeah.
And they want a return on their money.
Yeah, I mean, it depends, right? I mean, so we have high net worth groups that say, hey, you know, I'm looking at the bond market, I'm looking at the CD market, I'm looking at stocks, and I'm getting, you know, anywhere from 2 to, you know, 8% a year. And they're buying, you know, they're investing with us, and we're paying out a 10 to 15% cash on cash. And that's really attractive to those guys. They don't ever want to give it away or give it up. So my high net worth guys will hold on to this stuff for, you know, 3 to 10 years. My funds and my other partners who are trying to turn IRRs and drive up their
IRR.
Yeah. Internal rate of return. Yeah. The only thing that some of these funds care about. So, That's more of a function of timing return of capital. So it does become a little bit of a flip model. You know, you're in, you do the rehab, you do what you need to do, and then 18, 36 months later, you're exiting and, you know, putting a skin on the wall for them.
Wow. You know, and as long as the market stays hot, you can keep doing it.
Yeah.
Are these $100,000 chunks or something? Well, who are you? How are you raising money?
Well, we've got three main ways. We've got, like I said, my fund partners who, you know, are anywhere from $500 million to, you know, well over $1 billion in fund equity. And so when I need a $20 to $50 million equity check for a deal, that's who I go to because they can stroke the big checks. If I'm doing a $10 to $15 million equity raise, we've got kind of our high net worth group of investors who can do anywhere from $100 to $1 million themselves. And those are just literally, you know, individuals. And then you've got different equity shops that have access to high net worth family offices and such, like I mentioned.
You know, it's really intriguing. I always thought, you know, for real estate to really be successful, you needed inflation. We haven't had any inflation.
We've had zero.
You've never seen any inflation in your life, I bet you. But why is it more valuable? Is it just demand in hot areas?
It is.
People moving in?
Purely demographic driven and right now. You know, household formations at an all-time high. However, home ownership is at an all-time low.
Yeah.
And it continues to drive apartment demand as well as all industries in this commercial real estate sector. I mean, industrial is outperforming. Office is doing very well. To be honest, I think even the Fed is saying, well, what the hell is going on with inflation? It makes no sense right now. I mean, I know from our perspective, my construction costs are up significantly every single year. Our maintenance costs, our turnover costs, our employee and payroll costs, our medical, everything is up.
Well, you've got to be caught up in the crunch for employees.
Oh, it's and we're vertically integrated, so we've got our own construction shop as well. So
they're there. I mean, they work for you in their own salary.
Yeah, and you know, so on the operations asset management side, I've got about 400 employees, and on the construction side, including laborers and subcontractors, I've got another 400 employees, and it is an absolute dogfight to find good people and keep good people, and that's been one of the biggest challenges to growing into different submarkets.
So, is there an end game? I mean, you can't. I mean, you're going to be doing this 10 years. You're not going to be doing this in the teeth of a recession.
You know, I think that multifamily housing in the affordable bracket where we focus, they surveyed 101 economists. Not a single one of them saw a scenario where rental housing pricing is going to drop in a recession. And that is strictly because of demand.
People
got to have a place to live, and they got to have an affordable place to live. Yeah. And there's just less and less of it. They keep tearing it down, like you said. And so, you know, as they build more of this really nice, fancy product, it's not necessarily what people can afford. And I think in a recession, they even go down towards our product, which is at a more affordable price point.
It's a fascinating model and certainly a timely model. And you're one of the younger entrepreneurs I know that's been as this successful. And to that end, I know you're going to help out future entrepreneurs and would be Scott Everetts, and we'll talk about that next time you're up.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks a lot for being with us. Scott Everetts, founder and CEO of S2 Capital.
Thank you, David.
I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.